Thanks, Ben. You guys can take your seats. Before I give over to Pastor Godwin, I just want to honor two specific people here, two groups of people. Firstly, Pastor Anton Meiberg. Everyone knows Pastor Anton by now. He's from the Shofar Apostolic Team, and he's also in a strong leadership position in the Empower 21 movement. So just great to have you here as well, Anton, and thanks for bringing your special guests. We are very excited. And then specifically Pastor Ade and Oshua, his wife, from Trees of Life. Welcome you guys and honor you guys. Thanks for being here. And then on Friday, it was my first time to meet Pastor Godwin. We were a handful of people. In fact, I think your team was greater than our team. And we were about six or seven in our team receiving, and part of the seven were my two kids. But to see the passion that Pastor Godwin preached, it was like he was preaching for thousands, and he was just preaching for a couple of us. And I really honor you for that, and we really open up our hearts to see the passion in your heart to preach whatever the crowd is, whatever God gives you, you're going to go for it. So we want to honor you and welcome you, and let's put our hands together for Pastor Godwin.
Hallelujah. I greet every one of you in the name of Jesus. I want to appreciate the leadership of this ministry for the privilege given us all the way from Nigeria to be part of the wonderful session of worship this evening. Indeed, God is here. I want to thank our mama in the house, whose platform that we are riding to be here, and the team of ministers from Nigeria, and our pastor that has been taking us all around. God bless you in Jesus' name. And I want to especially appreciate you, Pastor. I love you. And I know God loves you better. Praise the Lord. I want us to pray. Let's bow our heads to pray. You are the Lord that He led me. You are the Lord, my healer. You sent Your word and You healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Can you sing with me? You are the Lord, my healer. You sent Your word and You healed my disease. You are the Lord, my healer. Father, we bow to reverence Your great name because of Your love for us and Your mercy and Your grace. Thank You because You are here, and thank You because You are already blessing us. Thank You for the word of prophecy. Thank You for the revelations. Thank You for the interpretation, and thank You for understanding. We ask once again, as we open the pages of scriptures, You will speak to us and bless everyone. Let no one come here and go back the same. Let Your mighty presence permeate this environment and break down every wall of partition. And as I take authority over the powers that be, I declare the kingdom to be the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Even so, Father, let the rain of salvation fall, and let the anointing descend from above. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let this moment be a moment of healing and recovery. Let it be a moment of revival. Take over, Holy Spirit, and let the name, Your name alone, be glorified. Thank You, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I did not know I was going to minister until we got right here. And I work with a team. We are spiritual soldiers. So when they say go, we go. You don't ask questions. So when we got to that room there, and Mama said, "You are the one preaching." I didn't need to say anything. Hallelujah. And when I obey like that, I know God will honor himself. So God is going to bless you as you have come. Don't mind my voice. I'm sure the sound will bear with me. I have a very deep. When I was listening to the worship, I got connected to what God is doing. And just like you said, the rain will fall. God is going to send rain because it's time to water the ground. One thing that God told me to share with you is the subject of the anointing. The anointing. Can you say with me the anointing? Can I hear from that side? The anointing. Can I hear from here? What about you?
The anointing.
Thank you. Now, I want you to understand one thing about life. Life is not fair. Life does not give you what you deserve. Life can only offer to you what you insist on, what you place a demand on. There are many people that are qualified for blessings, I don't get them. There are many people that are educated. That's why you see the professor in the university is not the most celebrated person. He's not the richest person. There are many people that are professors, great intellectual men and women, and yet they have troubles and challenges. That's why I said life is not fair. And life does not give you what you deserve. You can see a lady very beautiful, pretty, well endowed with all the natural things that you can talk about. She may be very unlucky to enter into a very wrong marriage. Sometimes you see somebody and say, "Wonder how? The man that married this person, what was he seeing? What was he looking at?" Because she didn't look at the kind of person that should be married. Yet she is married. And you have somebody beautiful, pretty, and no husband. Somebody's looking at her, and they're not coming to say, "Please, can you marry me?" And you wonder why. It's because life is not fair. There are strange battles that we fight in life that we don't understand. There are things that exist that we don't see with our eyes. There are powers that fly around that you can't see. We live in a world that is full of troubles and challenges. If you read the Bible in Revelation chapter 12, the Bible tells us in verse 7 that there was war in heaven. And that the devil, demons, they fought against the angels of God. They were fighting God. And war broke out in heaven. And the angels said, "Hey, you have no place in heaven. This is God's throne. And the devil lost the battle and they cast him down to the earth. If you read verse 12 in Revelation chapter 12, verse 12, the Bible says, there was a word that was pronounced. A woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. Because the devil has come to you with great wrath. He's angry. That's why anybody that is living on earth, you should know that there is a battle to fight. I said on Friday that whether you like it or not, there's a battle to fight. There's a battle for everybody. You know, as we came here, our pastor was telling us that there was a plane crash in this city here. Don't know how many of you are aware of it. Just today. And then you mentioned another country, Indonesia. And then we also had another plane crash in Nigeria. Sorry? Yesterday. Within 2 days, three countries are mourning. You can't explain what happened. These things are not ordinary. That's the world we find ourselves in. Have you woke up one day and you heard that somebody you know very well is dead? You're asking God why? There are many questions that can't be answered because we are living in a world of uncertainty. So we all need to know these things so that when you're living your life, you have to understand that there's a battle to fight. The world is full of evil. We have witchcraft all over. While you are sleeping, there are other powers that are awake looking for how they will oppress you. The world is evil. We have disappointments and failures everywhere. We have the occultic powers. There are men that are connected to satanic kingdoms who are posted to our neighborhood. And they are given the responsibility of looking for those to destroy. Sometimes you wake up, you slept. You were healthy when you were sleeping. But by the time you woke up, you discovered you couldn't rise from your bed. You were sick. Where did it come from? Where did the sickness come from? An enemy visited. We have strange deaths all over. As a pastor, I've come across a lot of cases of people that can't explain why their lives, as they are struggling in life, they're only seeing failure. They can't explain. Some children are sent to the universities and they get there, they can't concentrate. They're struggling to read, is becoming difficult, and whatever the lecturer is teaching, they can't understand. Why? Something is manipulating them behind the scene because of this world. And God knows that as long as you live in this world, you can't prosper without Him. And God designed a plan. He came down Himself so as to offer us a solution to the uncertainties of life. So Jesus came to earth. He died for our sins. He paid the price to redeem us and to place us where we should be and understand meaning, the meaning of life. That's why I'm talking about the anointing. When he was leaving, he told his disciples in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1 verse 8. He said, you're going to receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And then you shall be witnesses unto me, beginning from Jerusalem, Judea, to the utmost parts of the earth.
He said, I'm sending you forth to the world. But before you do that, wait until you receive the anointing. Because without it, you'll be defeated. Without it, you'll be swallowed by evil. Without it, you will live an aimless life. We have people in church who don't understand why they're in church. We have people in church who come to church and yet they are still in bondage, bondage to sin. We have people in church all over. We have people even preaching and they don't know God. Jesus came, he said, as I go, I will not leave you comfortless. I'm going to send the comforter. So when he comes, he will give you the power to overcome. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Without the power of God, you will just be like a handkerchief in the devil's pockets. He can always bring you out and use you clean to wipe his face. He can always bring you out and dump you somewhere. So you're in the house of solution. This is the best place to be. Because this is where you have to know the truth. The Bible says you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. The truth makes. It makes. So God offered the solution to give you the power to overcome the challenges of life, the hazards of life, the evils of life. Because of the occultic powers, because of the witches and the wizards, because of the evil men around us. Listen to me. Even your neighbor who smiles at you can be the one that can destroy you anytime. In Nigeria, somebody bought two cars. One very expensive car. And then he bought a four-wheel drive for himself. He drove the two cars and he offered the Camry, Toyota Camry. How many of you know Toyota Camry? He offered it to his elder brother. He said, brother, this is a car I bought for you. And brother said, oh, you bought a car for me. That's lovely. By the time the brother turned to the other side, he said, that one is higher than this one. It's bigger than this one. Who has that one? He said, oh, brother, that's my own. He said, wow. You mean you bought that one for yourself? You're my younger brother. You bought down for yourself. And you gave me this one. He said, yes. He said, because this is the one you can manage. The man has no money. He has nothing. And he was offered a very good car. He was looking for a four-wheel drive. He said, okay, thank you. And this young man left back to the city. And the brother said, wow, this is insult. This is humiliation. So because I don't have money, my younger brother is demoting me to an ordinary car. He's using a four-wheel drive and he's giving me this. And then he went to his group. What's his group? The occultic people. He said, I want you to help me prove to my brother that it's nothing. Bring him down. And instantly, in less than a week, the young man that was doing well in the city, he suddenly lost everything. And he has to sell that car, that four-wheel drive, to make ends meet. And at the end of the day, he was a poor man. And he had to go back to his brother and say, oh, life is tough now. Life is unbearable. He said, wow, but he just came and offered me a car. He didn't know he was the one who wasted his life. If you are not connected to God, anything can happen to you. So that's why God came. Jesus came and he offered us something that is more than gold, more than money, more than silver and gold. He offered us anointing. And what is anointing? The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. He knew that there are certain things that humans cannot achieve on their own, except by the Spirit. He says, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit. You can't fight the devil successfully if you don't have God's power. You can't do that. You can't confront this wicked world. Somebody took my name to an evil temple. My nephew, my sister's son, he was looking for money. He got there and said, man, I need money. He says, if you need money, you need to make sacrifice. I'm ready. He said, okay, who is the person you love best in your family? He mentioned my name. Are you ready to give him? He said, yes. So okay, fine. Let's go ahead. And then he began to make enchantment. He began to conjure. By the time he mentioned my name, something happened. I was not there. I was sleeping at home. I didn't know. I didn't know that there was a transaction going on against me. I was eating at home, relaxed with my family. It was the man that said, hey, you want to put me in trouble? The man you are mentioning is an untouchable person. Say, can you suggest somebody else? Say, no, that's the only person I have. Say, the next person is my mother. I don't want to give my mother. Say, then you don't need money. Because this one, it can't work. Listen to me. When eventually he came and confessed to me, I was telling God, I said, God, so if I was naked spiritually, if I had nothing inside of me, this is how I would have gone. Somebody would have used me to make money. That's why I talk to people that don't know God. People who are living their lives without God. You are in danger. Anything can happen to you. Why do we need the anointing? We need the anointing because it is the anointing that keeps you, that puts you in charge. In charge of situations. When you are having anointing, when God releases Spirit upon you, you are in charge of every situation. You are on the driver's seat. You could imagine somebody driving you in a vehicle. Five of you, and then there's this driver that is driving. And you are sitting on the other side. Some are sitting at the back. Let me ask you a question. Of the five of you, who is in charge of the vehicle? It's a driver. He determines your destiny as long as it's on the road. If you decide to swift into the river, there's nothing you can do. If you are flying in a plane, I'm sure you know it is the pilot. You need to pray for your pilot. I'm sure you remember the story of one of the pilots who locked the cockpit and then decided to crash the plane. Something was wrong with him. They did not know. That's how life is. With the anointing, you are in charge of every situation. You determine what happens in your environment with the anointing. And that's what God came to offer, and people are not interested. People come to church, they are not interested. People come to church, what they are asking God for is money. They are asking God for husband, wife. Nobody is asking for the anointing. The only thing that can make a difference in your life, the only thing that God knows that can lift you to a platform where the devil cannot get to. And people are not interested, they are not hungry. The anointing. The anointing gives you power. Power with God and power over men. When you have the anointing, you can discuss with God. You can reason with God. You can negotiate with God. You can convince God to act on your behalf with the anointing. And of course, if you don't have power, you can't command other powers to obey you. This world, the Bible talks about demons, principalities and powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Without power, you can't confront them. Without power. Without power. There are some of us here who would have been dead long ago if we did not connect to God's power. That's why God is sending us to tell the church there is power for victory. You need it. The reason why we are preaching the way we are preaching is because God is now in. What God is doing now is to raise an army. The world has become so wicked and corrupt. God is interested in raising an army. An army of militant young men and women that they will empower with the anointing to go out and confront the world. Otherwise, the church will be dead. We have to go beyond singing and dancing and celebration and shouting in the church. To go out there and confront the forces of darkness. And you can't do that without the anointing. Luke chapter 10 verse 27, verse 19 rather. Luke chapter 10 verse 9, the Bible says, "Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpent and scorpion." In other words, There are serpents and scorpions that you don't see with your eyes. And yet they are there in your environment. You step on something and then you have pain. You say, I don't know what is moving in my body. There are satanic pythons around, ready to devour. And God gives us power to do that by the anointing. You need anointing. God will give you anointing. Can you say amen? The anointing gives you a voice. When you have the anointing, you have a voice. And when you speak, people will listen to you. They will come and ask you for advice. Please, can you tell me, what do I need to do about this matter? And whatever you say counts. Because you're speaking the voice of God. Anointing. You need anointing. Elisha the prophet was telling that woman, say, what can I do for you? Do I go and speak for you before the king? Or do I go to meet the general of the army of the nation to present your case? In other words, with the anointing he had, he can always tell the king, do this to this person, and the king will obey. He can meet the general of the army of the whole nation and say, hey, general, please, there's somebody I want you to help me to deliver. Anointing, it gives you a voice over the nations, over the kingdoms. There are voices all over. You can silence any voice with the anointing. The voice of sickness, the voice of poverty, the voice of affliction. When the anointing is upon you, and you're speaking, every power bows. Hallelujah. The anointing also will lift you to a platform. There's a realm of dominion. In God, there's a realm of dominion. Not many Christians are there. There are not many Christians are operating at that realm. And that is where Jesus is seated. The Bible says he raised us up and he made us to be seated with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities, above powers, above dominions, above thrones, and above every name that is named, not only on earth, but also in heaven. But how many of us are seated with Christ in heavenly places? If you are seated there, it will show. No devil, no demon can harass you there. If you are seated there, it will show. Somebody is telling you, this is an occultic person. An occultic person is pointing an accusing finger and says, you, I'm going to deal with you. You say, oh, pastor, pray for me. Somebody is threatening my life. Church girl, you need power. You need anointing. You need the Holy Ghost. Because an embarrassment for you to say you're a Christian. And somebody that is not connected to God will come and threaten you and you're afraid. It's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment to say you're a Christian, you're a child of God. And somebody tells you, that, see, that man, that woman, that house, there's a witch there. He said, I want to pack out of this place. I need to look for somewhere else to stay. It's an embarrassment. Where is the fire that you should carry? Where is the fire? The anointing puts fire in you. You become an untouchable fire when you carry the anointing. When you carry the anointing. By this time last year, I was supposed to join the team to come to here. And the devil was fighting me. The devil said, I'm going to kill you. And I saw death face to face. I was lying down on my bed. My wife was just looking at me. She said she was watching my funeral. And she was saying, no, I can't be a widow. And right there, I was having a discussion. The spirit of death came. Say, your time is up. I said, no way. My time is not up. A man on a mission, a man that has not finished his assignment, cannot die. I left Satan. I left the devil. I said, dead, I have no covenant with you. I have not seen you inside my Bible. As long as I did not read you inside my Bible, that I have a relationship with you, I don't have anything to do with you. And I turn to God and say, God, 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 you know that you promised me that I'm going to fulfill my days. I say, God, you also told me that there is something I need to do. I have to preach this gospel. I have to go from nation to nations. And share your love and your will with your people. I said, I've not done it. I said, God, this is not what you told me. Brethren, it is good for God to give you a vision of yourself. If you can see into your future, God showed me my future before now. I said, God, what you showed me is not what I'm seeing here. I know I went down until I see what you have showed me in the future. So I told him, I said, God, well, you know, I'm not going to hell. And because I've not finished my work, and you are not happy with me. I know, God, you are not happy with me. Because I have not really done what I'm supposed to do. And because I don't have a covenant to go to hell, so I'm not going to hell. I said, secondly, I'm not even ready for heaven. What am I going to do there? There's work on earth. We don't have people that have the heart to work for God. And we that have the heart, where are we going to? I said, keep me here. So I'm not going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. So what else will God need to do? He has to keep me here. To come and preach to you as I'm preaching to you. So God looked into the matter. He's not going to hell. He said he's not coming here. And I was very, very sick. I went to the hospitals. All the drugs they gave me did not work. I went to another one. The man said, nothing is wrong with you. I said, doctor, you are a liar. How can you say something is nothing is wrong with me? Did I just leave my house? You think I'm insane? I know where it's paining me. Something is wrong with me. Doctor said, I've checked you. I've seen nothing. I said, no way. Check again. By the time he said, I should leave. I said, no, I'm not leaving. Doctor, okay. Doctor, can I recommend drugs for myself? Since you don't know what to do with me, let me tell you how to treat me. And the doctor was angry. He said, come, are you the one to teach me medical science? I said, because I know the pains I'm feeling. And you're saying I'm not sick. Listen to me. When the devil is afflicting you, medical science cannot see. When it is demons that are operating in your life, bring all instruments that science and technology has manufactured, they can't see. It was in that I began to speak the word of God. I will not die, I will live. I will declare the goodness of God. And I began to talk to myself about, I left the sickness, I left the devil, I left dead, Mr. Dead that I saw around me, and all that. I woke up. I said, my wife will live. I will see my children's children. And I will preach this gospel. Why am I saying this? With the anointing in you, you can't be defeated. We need anointing. You need anointing. The end time church is a militant church. That's why you hear the name of the ministry, the end time army. If you can't join the military part of God's, you know, we have citizens of the nations. We have some who are policemen. We have some who are in the army. We have some who are civilians. And in God's kingdom, we have them like that. Some of us are in the army. In the army. So everything about me is, if you called me yesterday, pray. I will pray. Say, God, anybody who is standing on my way, clear them. Why? I'm a soldier. A soldier. Even in the army, you have some people who are just drivers in the army. Some are engineers. Some are cooks and all that. They are not combatants. But for some of us who are in the army, we are the infantry. We are the war fronts. Where there is trouble, they send us there. That is the only people that God can trust and commit his anointing on. Because he knows he can use it to do something for the kingdom. We need expansion. Nobody should box you in the corner. But you can't expand without the anointing. The anointing protects. The anointing protects. The Bible said he suffered no man to do them harm. He reproved kings for their sake. And he said, touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. When you are anointed, there are angels that watches over you wherever you go to. You have angels. And anybody that raises a finger against you, they cut it off. Because the Bible says nobody touches the anointed and goes scot-free. So that's why I'm here. on behalf of our mother here to introduce to you the anointing. I said, in all you're getting, get anointing. In all you're getting. In whatever you're doing in church, get anointed. The cities are waiting for us. There are shrines to destroy. There are altars to uproot in the land. One young man in my home, in my country, he was in church like this, and he heard about the anointing. He began to praise God, anoint me, and send me anywhere. So one day, God answered his prayers. When he was sure that the anointing has come upon him, he knew a popular herbalist, somebody who does this herbal practice, who goes to, you know, do all this divination and all that for people. Fetish person. Eh? Sango. Sangoma. Thank you. And this brother, you see him very brief. I mean, very short. You know something that's very brief. It's not just short, but very brief. So that day, he wore a suit, and the suit was bigger than him. You could just see him inside there. Where was he going to? He was going to visit the herbalists. He got the people who were there waiting to take their turn in one remote place. And then he got there and said, "Hey, what are you all doing here?" And everybody turned. He went to the man. So he said, "Okay." He scattered everywhere. He asked him, "Everybody go." And the man was looking at him. He said, "What? Are you daring my gods?" He said, "If you speak, I kill you now. If you talk, I kill you now." And immediately he began to speak in tongues. He faced the man, he spoke in tongues. And he made a declaration. He said, "For deceiving God's people, I give you 7 days." And when everybody saw that one brief man had come to threaten their God, they all left. He said, "Everybody, leave here, leave here, leave here." And they all left. And as I can tell you, 7 days after that, that man died. Because of the anointing. I'm not talking about the fetish man died. There's another young man that after service, he went somewhere and he saw one of that one like that. He went and packed all the fetish things. He gathered them together and put in his bag. And the man was saying, "What are you doing with my God?" He said, "Come, if you need them, give me 80,000 naira. I'm talking about our own Nigerian money. 80,000 naira, come and claim your God from me." How many rounds? 4,000 rounds. Thank you. So, the man was there. Poverty was bad because there was nothing to use to deceive people anymore. Poverty was biting him. And then he made inquiries. They told him, "That boy attends one church over there." So he got there one of those Sundays. And after service, he said, "Please, I want to see the pastor of this church." And as he saw the pastor, "Pastor, please, I'm told that one of your members, one boy that came to visit my shrine, is here. He stole my God. Can you please tell him to return my gods? Because I'm owing people." He said, "What? Here?" And then the pastor asked, "Who is the person?" They mentioned. The pastor called the young man. He said, "Is this the person?" "Yes." He says, "He carried my gods. And he said I should bring 80,000 naira. And I've been struggling to raise the money. I have only 40,000. Please let him give me. Let me go and make money and come and return it." So the pastor turned to the young man. He said, "Young man, you don't look like me." He said, "How can you see these evil people that are exploiting people? And you went and charged only 80,000 naira? Why? You would have said 1,500,000. So the pastor turned to the evil man and said, look, this boy has poor shoe for me. Say, if it were me, I would have asked for 1,000,000. He said, anyway, since he has settled the price before he left, please go and pay him his 80, and then you come and collect your God. Why? A man with anointing knows that there is no other power anywhere. The Bible says all power belongs to God. Once have thou spoken, twice have I heard it. That power belongs to God. Nobody should come and tell you there is power anywhere. Power is in God. And he has delivered it to the believers by the anointing. He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. When it comes, you will receive power. So the anointing helps you to do the impossible. Remember that young virgin Mary. The angel came and said, Mary, you're going to have a child. She said, wow, how can I have a child? I don't know a man. I'm not married. He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. And the power from on high will brood upon you. It will overshadow you. So when you carry the anointing, you do the impossible. What people can't understand. You find yourself, listen to me, even this plane crash we are talking about, God showed it to us. We were praying yesterday and this morning. Say, God, show mercy. And we say, well, except it is your will. Because sometimes you can't stop God from executing judgment. Some of the things that happen, God has given somebody a long rope. He said, okay, I can't take it anymore. Go. You need anointing. God will give us anointing. Can you say amen? Amen. Can you say amen? Amen? It helps you to do God's work. It helps you to do God's work. We are going to pray. We are going to pray. God, I want to work for you. I want to represent you everywhere. I want you to use me, Jehovah. And the only way God can use you is when you submit yourself, when you open up to the anointing. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God coming upon a man, turning a man to another man. Oh, yes, without the anointing. Listen to me. One thing that the anointing does is that it installs you as a king. When the anointing comes. Nobody became a king in Israel who was not anointed. When the Israelites were asking for a king, God called the prophet and said, go to the house of Kish. I've chosen somebody there, taller than every other person. Anoint him. When Saul disappointed and God needed to raise another king, God still calls Samuel and says, fill your horn of oil with oil and go to the house of Jesse. And there I have chosen me somebody who will anoint. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. And then by the time you get to verse 13, it says, Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brethren. And he said, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward. And it was the power, the anointing enabled you to sit on the throne. There are thrones all over that are vacant, waiting for somebody to occupy them. Thrones of wealth, thrones of power, thrones of influence, thrones of glory. And they are all empty. And it is only the anointed that can sit on them. Won't you desire for this anointing right now? It is time. But then, let me tell you something before we pray. The anointing does not just jump on anybody's head. If you're living in sin, you can't get anointed. If you don't know God, if you're rebellious to the will of God, if you're in church and yet you are still committing fornication, you're still committing adultery, you're still telling lies, you're still cheating, you're still smoking and drinking alcohol, you can't get anointed. You're wasting your time in church. You have no connection with God. God is looking for serious-minded people. People who understand the value of life. People that he can use to reach out to others. people who can set that example. God is looking for people he can sanctify. It is when you open up and say, God, I repent of my sins. I'm tired of the life I'm living and I want to live a new life. God, I surrender. I drop my sins. I drop my iniquity, my transgressions. I drop them. Lord, I need you now. That's the time you are ready for the anointing. Because when he comes upon you, he takes over. And then you begin to represent God. You act like God. You think like God. You reason like God. You hear from God. The anointing opens the door of heaven for you to have free access into the throne of God. So that you, God can use you to distribute wealth and resources and anointing to others. And that's why right now as we pray, anybody can be anointed. Who is ready? Who is righteous? Who has surrendered his heart to Jesus? And I'm inviting somebody here. I know there are people here who don't really know God. There are people here who are even in church, yet sin has dominion over them. There are people here who are still, you know, living under the influence of the society. There are people here who are controlled by the powers of hell. And they are seated here looking at me. I'm inviting you to Jesus. When you come to him, the first step is repentance. And the second step is when you are now hungry. After repenting from your sins, you are not hungry. You say, God, I don't want to live an empty life anymore. Because without the anointing, your life is empty. I don't want to live an empty life anymore. And you make a request. Say, God, I'm now ready. Give me this anointing. So that I will go and live a victorious life. So that I will have direction in my life. Give me this anointing. When you do that, God will give you. Is there anybody here today who is saying, Lord, I don't understand my life. I know I'm far away from you. I can't hear when you are talking to me. And I want to repent. As we bow our heads to pray. Let's bow our heads to pray. Please, can somebody like that come forward here? I want to pray for you. God sent us to liberate you from everything that can destroy your life anyhow, anytime. It doesn't matter who you used to be or who you are or what you're doing in the house of God. If your life is not right, it is between you and God. Please, I need such persons to come forward. We want to pray for you. The whole team will join our house together and say, Lord, save this person. Deliver this person. Is there anybody like that? Please come forward. Come forward. Come forward. I know that there are people like that, that God wants to encounter this hour in a very special way. There are people here that God wants to encounter. If you are there, please come forward. Your pastor is here. He's going to pray for you. We are all going to hold our hands together and say, God, behold your vessel. We want you to fill this life with your power. We want you to fill this life with your glory. Akayaba tulaba zontali kaba. Oh, hallelujah. Begin to pray. Begin to pray for yourself. This is an evil world. It's an empty world. Hallelujah. I'm just waiting for that person. It may be just one person. It may be two. But there's somebody that God wants to change his or her life. There's somebody that God wants to transform. And today will be that day that heaven will rejoice over your destiny. And heaven will say, wow, we've got somebody that we're going to use to showcase ourselves to this world. Are you not tired of nightmares? Are you not tired of affliction? Are you not tired of troubles? This is the time. This is the time. Just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Don't miss this opportunity. If you're there, please come forward. I want to pray for you. God bless 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 you. You are the first to encounter God. You are the first to encounter Jesus. Just move to this side. God bless you. I told myself, you can only get one person that God is going to invest his power upon. If you can only get one person that God is going to invest his grace upon, then we know that we have achieved God's purpose. God's intention. Oh yes, as the pastor is praying for her, if there's any other person that wants to join her in this glorious encounter with the Holy Spirit, in this glorious encounter with grace, Join her right now. Don't just assume that all is well with you. This is a time God wants to break every yoke, every unrighteousness, every evil from somebody's life. This is a time. This is a time. Don't resist God's will. Don't resist God's power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Jesus. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I celebrate this life. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let everybody stretch your hands and pray also. Pray for her. Pray for her. Sometimes God will choose one person. And he can use one person to make a difference. When others are rebellious, when others are stiff-necked, he will choose to bless one person. Let the investment of God penetrate her life. Let the power of God arrest her. Let every yoke of sin, every yoke of waywardness be destroyed in our life. Let the hand of the Lord reach out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh yes. Let heaven accommodate him. Let the power of God enter into her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I can see the power of God visiting her. I can see the yoke of sin broken. I can see mercy released upon her. Oh yes, the blood of Jesus is speaking for her right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please, can we all stand up right now? Let's take this song. Anoint thee, fall on me. Anoint thee, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing follow. Listen to me before we continue singing. What we are talking about is real. It's real. It's tangible. It's something you can encounter right now. The power of the Spirit of God. God has chosen to live inside of us. God has chosen to operate through us. God has chosen to make our bodies his temple. And you need to open up to him. And there are dimensions of grace and anointing. Whether you have baptized in the Holy Spirit before, it does not matter. There's a higher height of anointing. There is grace. There's a new platform to enter into so as to receive victory. And wherever you are, if you are anointed, you will begin to prosper. So that's why you need to desire for a fresh encounter with him. As we take this song, you are taking it prayerfully, opening up yourself to him and saying, Lord, let your anointing fall upon me. Fire from the Holy Spirit. Anointing fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Oh, anointing Let the power of the Holy Ghost